Hi, I'm John Byrne, Executive Editor of Businessweek. Welcome to our podcast of Behind This Week's Cover Story, our series that gets inside the making of this issue's major story. You just heard Bob Dylan, of course, with Maggie's Farm. This week, we're out on the newsstand with a double issue on the future of work, how we will master technology, manage companies, and build careers in the era of the global 24/7 workforce. The U.S. and the global economies are coming to a crossroads that no one could have anticipated just a few years ago. Globalization and technology together are creating the potential for startling changes in how we do our jobs and the offices we do them in. Offshoring, for one, means work can be broken into smaller tasks and redistributed around the world. And the rapid growth of broader, richer channels of communication, including virtual worlds, is transforming what it means to be at work. To discuss this new future, our chief economist, Mike Mandel. Welcome, Mike.
Glad to be here, John.
And glad to have you. Now, Mike, why the future of work?
Well, John, everybody works, okay? And what's happening is that work is changing at a very rapid pace. It's changing because, as you said, because of globalization, because of technology. And we've reached a point where these two forces together means that the sort of jobs that we do, the way that we do them, the places that we do them in could be very different 5 years from now, 10 years from now, than they've been for a long time. And what we wanted to do with this issue is give people a glimpse into the future of work.
Now, there obviously are positive aspects here and negative aspects. Talk about the upside here.
Well, before we talk about the upside, let me actually say that this is a time when, depends on who you talk to, you can get a very optimistic vision of the future of work. You can get a very pessimistic vision. The optimistic vision would have us that our work is going to get more interesting. The rote work goes overseas. The technology enables us to work from home, gives us a lot more flexibility. That's the good vision. The
bad, I like that vision.
You like that vision.
And I buy into it.
We like that vision. The problem is that a lot of people have a bad vision of what the future of work might be, which is that it becomes ever more oppressive, that the jobs get broken up, that a lot of stuff gets outsourced overseas, and that in the U.S. that we're sort of faced with a situation of falling wages and the jobs get less interesting. And what we're doing in this issue, in this special report on the future of work, is helping people get to the better future and helping them get to the better future as managers, as workers, and as users of technology. And so we're really taking a very broad view of what goes into the future of work.
I guess a lot of the pessimistic viewpoint is based on fear. In other words, there are people out there who fear they will not have access to higher levels of education, that in fact they can't do more sophisticated, more intellectual work. And what's wrong with that? Shouldn't they be able to earn a living in this country doing the salt of the earth jobs that have been a core part of our economy forever?
Well, forget about the salt of the earth jobs. The reason why people are fearful right now is that even if you have a college education, over the last 5 or 6 years, real wages haven't gone up. It's been a very tumultuous time, even for the educated here in the U.S., which is part of where the feeling of fear comes from. So you got to actually kind of look beyond what's been going on the last few years and say, okay, if we look a little bit further out into the future, as we get more acclimated, as the technology really takes hold, what is going to happen? And for example, in this special report, we have a very detailed look at how companies are able to manage global workforces, which is really important these days. We have a very, very good piece on how not to get Bangalore or Shanghai. That is, how to make sure that your job is not cut out from under you and moved overseas, and what sorts of jobs are likely to actually be sustainable over the future. We have some really wonderfully futuristic pieces on how the environment of work is going to change, both the technology and also the way that workplaces are put together. And altogether, I think it's interesting, you sort of mentioned optimism versus pessimism. Altogether, the basic message of the package is optimistic. And I think that's, I'm not sure that we went into it with that feeling. I think that what it came out of the reporting, it came out of the sense when you sort of talk to people, even when you sort of talk to the people who sort of are worried about what's going on today, you ask them about what's going to happen 10 years from now, and they say that they're optimistic. And that actually shows up in our poll as well. We polled online 2,000 executives and managers and asked them what they thought was going to happen to sort of work over the next 10 years. And 60% of them said that for the average person, it was going to improve. So here's really the dichotomy. This is a tumultuous time right now, and people have the feeling that if you go forward, that it's, that things are going to get better.
In fact, in the poll, there were a lot of really fascinating results to me. I mean, basically, people were saying in a decade, the average person will have better working conditions, as you just pointed out. Women and minorities will have an easier time getting ahead. And more of us will be on a first-name basis with someone in India.
I thought that was an interesting question because I'm on first-name basis with people in India right now.
Well, of course you are. Our IT department, which has been outsourced, much to the chagrin, indeed, of many here, not because it was simply outsourced, but because we sometimes have some problems getting service, don't we?
Speak for yourself, John. I get good service all the time.
All right. And the other interesting finding in that poll, in fact, was that we are really a fairly happy and optimistic bunch, and a bunch bursting with self-esteem, because 90% of the respondents in that survey believe they're in the top 10% of performers. I guess in late corporate, we're all well above average.
Well, that's absolutely true, John, as you well know. But what's also interesting, though, is that we reported on the job satisfaction survey done by the Conference Board, which shows that job satisfaction has been falling over time. So there's a lot of different cross currents going on. And one of the things this report does is kind of sort of steers people through them. Let me actually sort of pull up one article that I really liked on sleep deprivation. And apparently there's an entire study about how to help people be more rested so that they're more functional at work, and what can employers do to sort of help this. I thought that was very interesting. And there's another really fascinating story about enhanced employees. These are sort of pushing things further out into the future. The idea of sort of enhancing employees by putting a brain chip in them to improve their thinking or memory. And this is not around the corner right now, but it's actually very interesting in the context of the Barry Bonds steroid scandal, which is that's a question of enhanced athlete. I think that people may actually have a different attitude towards enhancement when it's on the job and it's intellectual stuff and they can sort of see that there's positive consequences that come out of it.
I want to see your medical insurance pay for that.
The chip? Yeah, we're going to get the enhanced medical insurance too.
You're going to fight to work for a company that will automatically pay for it is what you're going to do.
Exactly. And people who don't work for such companies will be at a severe disadvantage.
So, Mike, are you optimistic about the future of work, or you fall into the pessimistic crowd?
Well, I think I'm pretty much in the camp of the people who are sort of short-term worried and long-term optimistic. Mm. I think that right now we're actually running through a period where adjusting to the new world of globalization and the technologies is actually going to be difficult for a lot of people. We're going to have a tough transitional stage. If you sort of go forward 10 years, I think that what history tells you is that things will get better. And I sort of feel very optimistic about where our children will end up.
Okay, you're our chief economist. Entering a recession?
No, we're not entering a recession. In fact, I think that all this brouhaha about the credit crunch is really overblown, and that we'll sort of wake up 6 months from now and realize that it was a lot of hot air. I think that what's happened is that we're seeing some of the froth skimmed off the top. We're seeing that a lot of people on Wall Street who had taken advantage of cheap interest rates are having their shirts handed to them. And basically, that's the way that things should be. I don't think we're heading for a recession. We may be heading for a slowdown, though.
And Bernanke's decision not to lower rates was the right one?
I don't know whether it was or not. I'd like to see him lower rates by the end of the year. I don't see any compelling reason to do it right now.
So if you had advice to give our listeners as to how to prepare for the new world of work, what would you tell them?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think at this point, what you have to do is you have to sort of assume that you're heading into a tumultuous, high-risk environment and prepare yourself for that. Because the people who have sort of done well in the past in environments like this are people who have been able to sort of change their directions to take advantage of opportunities. The opportunities will come up. You have to sort of be able to sort of switch direction on a dime. And that's really – actually, I think that's really the best advice. It has less to do with going to this field or that field because, frankly, nobody can tell you which field is going to be hot or not. I can't even tell you where journalism is going to be 5 years from now. But if you keep yourself sort of flexible and being willing to switch directions, that's the best way to sort of do well.
Folks, it's not going to be plastics.
It's not going to be plastic. Well, if you're in China, it might be plastic.
That's absolutely true. If you're in China, that's absolutely true. Mike, thanks so much.
Oh, very glad to do this with you, John, as always.